Big thanks, Dan, for sharing updates like that with us. I want to start our teaching time this morning by telling you a story. It's true, truly true. Those are the best kind of stories, right? There was a troubled young student in his teens. Few people really knew the depths of this young man's trouble. Kenny was the oldest of five. And as eldest sibling, his always gruff dad overworked him on their family's horse farm. How many of you are firstborns? Do you know what it was like to feel like you were overworked, like the expectations were really high on you? How many of you would say that? It's true of you? Okay, all right, I can relate a little bit. How many of you are the babies? How many of you are really glad you were the baby? How many of you firstborn still hold it against the baby that they were the baby? Okay, so in Ken's life, as the oldest sibling, the former World War II POW father he had, this was over the top, truly. He was over-demanding toward all his kids, but especially Kenny. This harsh, authoritarian dad was both verbally and physically abusive with Ken and his three sisters and younger brother. There was nothing truly hopeful or promising about Ken's future. In fact, quite often, already in his teens, this young man was learning to be quick-tempered and moody and self-absorbed. But when he was 17, something bright and beautiful broke through. What emerged one night blessed him, truly blessed him, blessed his family, and blessed dozens of other people for years, years to come. And I'm going to share more in a few minutes. Here's today's key idea, though. Don't miss this. This morning. You want to bless others? Like we've been learning about all through this series, if you want to bless others, get ready to share your story because of Jesus' story. Get ready to share your story because of Jesus' story. If you really want to bless others, this culmination step in the bless equation is truly wonderful and can have powerful influence with others. Stories capture our imaginations and deeply connect with our souls. I'll bet you can remember something that serves almost like a best ever, your favorite story ever, whether it's from a children's book as a little kid or some classic in literature. There's one, I'll bet you, that just stands out, or one you've seen on the big screen. And if we run into each other in the foyer, you could tell me, and this is what happened, and this is how it played out, and this is why it's my favorite story. Stories capture our imaginations, connect with our souls, and they move us to more deeply consider our own personal life change. Stories do that. But there are several real dilemmas when it comes to your story. It's tempting to say for some of us, mine is just not all that spectacular. Some of you are saying that. I know you are. Or some of us say, mine is a little too spicy, a little too sordid and shocking. We don't talk. Some of you feel that way about your story. And for some of us, the story dilemma is that we just don't know how to share. Never prepared for that. Or perhaps you feel like your story's not yet fully baked, not formed enough. All of these dilemmas, these story dilemmas, are very real. And it's vital we recall how St. Paul, the Apostle Paul, declared this about his own gospel story in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. The gospel, Paul's story, God's story, matching up, and he says, there's power there, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm ready to share it. Next few minutes, we'll work at overcoming these dilemmas. Awesome to realize story proves vital throughout all of your aims to bless. Now, in a sense, this bless business is sequential. We've said begin with Bible and prayer. In other words, Bible every day ought to be part of your life. Soaking in portions of God's word, getting into God's word, the story, the why. It is indeed the grand story. From Genesis to Revelation, God's story, the redemption story, getting into it, learning it, beginning with Bible and prayer. And many of you have been sharing with me how you've got a set of people, maybe 5, 6, 8 people that you're praying for with passion that they come to know Jesus. That's wonderful. We begin there, and then we learn to listen, and then we learn to eat. And most of you have said to me, I get that one. Woo, yeah. Love to eat. And then to serve, as Randy led us in thinking about last week. But many of us, we readily say, okay, these first four I can do, but this story thing, that's challenging. Well, we're going to work on that in the next few minutes together. And before we're done, you are going to gain some greater courage and confidence to be ready to share Jesus' story and your story. Being ready anytime with your story and Jesus' story is so important because, by the way, this isn't automatically just like sequential like this. It's not like you, okay, now I begin. And now I'm listening and now I'm eating and now there's a sense in which it's sequential, but it's a lot more fun than that. There's times when you might early on get the opportunity to share your story and then, at just about any point, when you're prayerful and you're watching and you're anticipating what God might do with friends, with family, with neighbors, with coworkers, what you better be ready to share. Share your story. It's so important. Consider Nicodemus' story in John 3 this morning. Join me, please. John chapter 3. Let's go there and explore pieces of John 3 verses 1 through 21. It says, now there was a Pharisee. Verse 1. A man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, verse 3, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old, Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born? Verse 5, Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Well, how can this be? Nicodemus asked. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. This is the verdict, verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Quick handful of backdrop insights. Backdrop insights. First, John's gospel is all about God's love and people so loved. Following our upcoming Easter time resurrection series, we'll dive into a fuller detailed journey during summertime here at Manor Church. Bigger journey in John's gospel. But for today, let your heart and mind grasp the profound purpose. John 20, verse 31. Will you read it aloud with me? Let's read together. Let's read full voice. But these are written so you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. When you put your trust in him, you will have life that lasts forever through his name. Across our blessed series, I've been sharing insights. We've called them superpowers of Bible study, principles for a better grasp, more accurate understanding, the kind that leads to healthier applications, life apps in our daily lives. And the Bible's meant to do that. Give us life apps, things to apply daily. One big one is watch for repeated words, terms, and phrases. So today, I probably leaped at you, believe. Believe. It's a powerful word to hear, not just in John's gospel, but all across the sacred scriptures. Another is watch for key themes in your focus passage and also the whole Bible. It can show us so much about the grand story, God's story of redemption across all of the Bible. Another superpower is place, the literal location in the biblical scene. Where's this happening in the Bible story? Watch for the people, those key characters, their role, their speech, their tone. So today, watch Nicodemus, watch Jesus. And then watch for personal prayer and attitude change pattern. As you come to God's word, any spot in God's word, watch for personal prayer patterns and personal attitude change patterns. Are there concepts to pray with and use? And then are there some attitudes that just need to really change in me, in you? Is any of us willing to go so bold as to say, oh, my attitude's supreme every day? Anybody? No, come on. I see grins on your faces. Some of you are like, nope, I know it. Or you're thinking about the person next to you. Yeah, their attitude stinks. Well, we need attitude change constantly, and the Word of God loves to work that in us and help us think different, have a different worldview, have a different heart perspective, so we live different. In the next few minutes, let's utilize all of these in approaching John 3, verses 1 through 21. As we do, we're going to see three story-crafting concepts. They're going to help your courage go to a next level when it comes to this business of sharing the gospel story. First, share your backstory. Backstory. This is your BC, before Christ. What was transpiring? What led up to, or what is leading up to you knowing Jesus, loving Jesus, following Jesus, walking in the light? BC, backstory. We see it here in verses 1 and 2. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Context is another superpower in understanding your Bible. It's crucial in greater biblical understanding. Jesus and the disciples were in Jerusalem at the Passover festival. Chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. So you back up just a little bit to catch the context. Verses 23 through 25 clue us into location and place. Literary context, he's working miracles. And people are believing in him. And author John gives us this unique character insight. Don't miss it. Don't miss this. Unique character insight about Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 25. 225, he keenly knew people's hearts. That's an important note. Very important note. In light of the convo that transpires in chapter 3. And very important insight about you and me. He keenly knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows our hearts. He's very aware. What's stirring in you? What are the stormy places right now inside you? What are the frustrating things going on right now in your heart? What are the temptations you're facing? What are the things that would draw you away? What are the things drawing you up in praise and causing you to say, Hosanna, and shout and sing his praises? The whole mix, Jesus is keenly aware. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Well, Pharisees, what in the world was that? Well, they were a religious party, typically very intellectual. The first century historian Josephus noted that they were a distinctive group of ostentatious religious pietists. How about that for a description? Know anybody like that? Don't look at somebody nearby. Ostentatious. They were very traditional, often antagonistic
and too often hypocritical. In other words, they lifted up something as truth as the way to go, but then they didn't do it themselves. There's a double whammy with Nicodemus. Did you catch it? He's not only a Pharisee, he's also part of the Sanhedrin. The highest national Jewish body. In other words, there are Pharisees, then there are the Sanhedrin. Wow. Experts of the experts on Jewish law, including all that had been codified for daily living, over the top, legalistic. This meant Nicodemus was fully entangled in the Judaic legal system of his day. He would have been wealthy, he would have been prominent, and probably an old buzzard. He's a member of this larger group that would go on to be the driving force against Jesus. Notice more backstory. Verse 2 says he came to Jesus. What's it say? At night. Details like this are never wasted. There are no non-essentials in your Bible. Watch, I challenge you, when you come to God's word, watch for such quirky, captivating shadows. It's night, it's dark. Now that's really important to know in light of what's going to emerge in Jesus' lingo. Apparently, Nick is wanting to keep things on the down low, so he's Nick at night. If you're an influencer like he is, you're not wanting news to spread that you're personally curious about this miracle-working teacher. After all, you have a reputation to uphold. You are a Pharisee of the Sanhedrin. But he comes to Jesus at night. Look at what Nick said. It's more of his backstory. He's been watching, gathering information, and reaching. He's been gathering and reaching some personal conclusions. He recognized Jesus' unique mission, teaching, miraculous signs, and even how he's sent from God. Wow. It's intellectual and emotional for him. That's something else to note. When you come to God's word, there's always some emotional context going on. Watch for that. There's a tone. There's a tone in a text. There's emotion going on for the characters and for all that's involved. Watch for that. This is good story. Plenty of stirring inside and around Nicodemus that night. Good stuff in the story that Jesus is going to work with. When it comes to blessing others with your own story, aim to curate and craft your backstory. Like, just pause long enough to think right now, what was true of me, or what's been true in my life? What's marked me? Maybe even what's dared to try to brand me? What's been true in your life? Your BC. What I've told you so far about the young man Kenny, that's his BC. What's been true in your past? What's led to your exploring and considering more deeply a real faith in Jesus? What along the way are you able to affirm? What are truths that are starting to stand out as true, true, true? What were your own sticking points and questions? It's backstory. Share your backstory. Second, share how Jesus' story intersects your story. Share how Jesus' story intersects your story. What happened? Well, Nick stated in verse 2 what he already saw clearly so far. It's so good. Verses 3 through 8 show us Jesus shared truths, and then Nicodemus asked really good questions. Ponder truths Jesus spotlights right here. God's kingdom. Don't let kingdom, when you hear it, mystify you. This has happened in my own heart and life. I hear kingdom, I read it somewhere in the scriptures, and then I'm like, what in the world is that? God's kingdom. how to see it, how to enter it, how to really be involved in the beautiful new community. And if you want a great way to think about kingdom, it's just that. It's beautiful new community with King Jesus as your king. All across the sacred story, all across the story from Genesis to Revelation, the kingdom is portrayed as that beautiful place to live with the Lord as your king. And so you surrender. And you love him more, and you love others, and you obey him more. You're responsive to follow King Jesus. You're responsive to love others like King Jesus loves. You let correction happen in your life. You repent and you turn from old ways, and you live in new ways, and you're responsive to the king because you're living in the kingdom. It's that beautiful new community. And this, by the way, is a thick theme. It's not just something that Jesus plonks out there as brand new. It's a thick theme in all of God's story. Places like Exodus 15, 18, the king and this beautiful new community. Psalm 93, verse 1, the king and this beautiful new community. Psalm 103, 19, the mighty king and this beautiful community. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7, we often go there at Christmas time, this beautiful prophecy of the king and his kingdom, kingdom citizens, vibrant citizens in the kingdom. Listen, don't miss this. Listen, watch this. Vibrant citizens in the kingdom of God are repentant, responsive, trusting, and they grow in obedience to their king. Listen to that again. Vibrant citizens in the kingdom of God are repentant, responsive, trusting more and more, and they grow in obedience to the king. Jesus spotlights being born again, the Spirit's surprising supernatural work of bringing people into this kingdom. Oh, there's natural birth. Of water. Every person in this room, you experienced it. Your mama's water broke. And you've probably heard the story. And some of you ladies who have been mamas, our mamas, you remember the moment. Some of you dads have tried to forget the moment that you were informed, my water broke. I remember those moments. Oh, water breaks. And a natural birth happens. But this birth, Jesus says, this birth of God's Spirit is stunning. New birth, born again. Here's an internal, eternal work of changing heart, transforming a person's trust from self to God and producing decisive new character. Sometimes, step at a time. Sometimes, boosh, dramatically. Decisive new character. Now remember, this convo is happening amidst nighttime darkness. There's probably some night wind sweeping down a Jerusalem street as they talk. What's blowing in the wind? Here's the wonderful, surprising even, creative work, recreation. There is a mysterious, unknown piece to this. Don't miss that Jesus is emphasizing there is a mysterious, unknown, uncontrollable, surprising work in the wind of God. These days I'm more and more convinced that I need to and we need to be much more open to a surprising windy work of God in our lives. When's the last time you actually dared to open your heart like that and say, Lord, I'm open. Do some new windy, surprising thing. I mean, I'm watching. I'm anticipating. I'm really convinced more and more of us need to be more and more open to a windy work of God. His surprises. I had a thing or two this week. I wasn't expecting it at all. I wasn't looking for it. It honestly was something I've been praying about for a number of months, I think even a couple of years. There was something, I had a convo with somebody, and I was like, oh, inside, I mean, I didn't do that right there with the person, but inside I was like, oh, whoa, where'd that come from? And driving away from the convo, I realized, oh, windy work of God. How open are you to surprising things, to the Lord God actually surprising you with his windy work? There is indeed this mysterious unknown piece to this. And Jesus says you can't really control this. How many of you were able to control the wind this morning when you walked out there? No, some of us walked out. I walked outside and was like, oh no, I gotta play stick pickup again. What? It doesn't work, right? If you try to, you can't do it, right? I mean, catch the wind, control it. I've got to confess, too often I find myself in a season of life where I dare to think, I know God's formula. I've got this figured out. And all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, 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 that's Pharisee. That might even be Sanhedrin. I wonder, seriously, gang, I wonder what God might want to do in me, in you, in us, if we actually dare to invite his wind to blow in surprising ways these days. Stunning links right here. Don't miss this. Stunning links to Genesis. Yeah, it's always coming back to the early story. Genesis 1 and 2 and the Spirit of God blowing the wind of God and working right there. And we dare not miss it. Genesis 3 is the backdrop. Bad news, horrific, desperately dark news. Don't miss this. The fall into sin is the desperate dark backdrop of all of this spooky night as they talk. Genesis 3, Adam and Eve's choice to rebel and the resulting curse. Our human trauma involves the all-out rift in history of our relationship with our perfect, loving, holy God. And there was this desperate rift because of sin. And so now, a broken world with horrific conditions. And consequence for our sin is indeed not just what we suffer in this lifetime, but judgment and eternal death and hell and eternal separation from our holy, loving God. The darkness of our human hearts includes all the evil, wicked, depraved things we think and do, and also the righteous, holy, and helpful things we fail to do. I have fallen short. You have fallen short. We all fall short of God's glory. And there's dark desperation, desolation, and death sentence behind all of this. Nick's searching. And the same shadows haunt, Jesus' wondrous salvation declaration in verse 16, that verse we so love, for God so loved. But notice, he says, shall not perish. Perish means ongoing separation. Dead in our sins, dead to the wondrous eternal life our loving God wants for each of us. Perish should motivate us. Perish should motivate us regarding our own souls. Perish should motivate us regarding all the people around us. But here, with that dark backdrop, on that dark, windy night, Jesus is spotlighting the new life and the new creation and this new windy work. Scott Sauls, I love this. He says it this way. Rejoice, you are a train wreck. You are also more loved than you ever dreamed. You're a train wreck. So am I. Let that soak in. Really? Train wreck. And really, more loved than you ever dreamed. There's a very wonderful, amazing, stunning, surprising work of God's Spirit. Don't miss that, and don't miss Nicodemus' best question ever. Verse 9, Love these four words. How can this be? When's the last time you said it? How can this be? It's a great question. If you are personally searching about faith right now, if you are searching about faith right now, ask your questions. Ask away. Seriously. Ask your questions. Nothing is off limits. God can handle it, truly. With a friend, on your own with God, with any of us right here at Manor Church, go ahead and affirm what you're already gaining clarity about. Affirm that, and then ask what's still bugging you and puzzling you. We've all got things that bug us about faith. Come on, go ahead, admit it. You know it. There are things you're still questioning. There's things you're still wondering. That's good. If you're aiming to bless someone like Nicodemus, invite their questions. Make plenty of room for wondering. In verses to come, like 3:16, Christ spotlights the all-out importance of entering the new birth and his kingdom by believing. In Jesus' framework, the weight of this word, believe, is way more than an intellectual trip, mental assent to faith facts. Now, is there intellect involved? Absolutely. You don't check your brain at the door when it comes to faith. Are there facts to load in and assess and factor in? Oh, yeah, go there. Absolutely. But it's even deeper than that. There's mental stirring, yes, but it's even deeper. Believe means you turn the key and you open and walk through the door of gracious love, transferring your trust from yourself, from your own efforts, your own wit and supposed good ways to the Lord who loves you more. And by the way, your supposed wit and good ways really aren't that witty or good. Neither are mine. Not nearly that witty or good. In fact, it all falls short. In the presence of the God whose wisdom is ultimate, whose love is so real, and whose goodness is so sweet. Believe. 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 One word from God can open a wondrous world. Mark that down. One word from God can open a wondrous world. Believe. It's a newfound trust leading to personal life change and beautiful new character, more like Jesus. It's a personal trust leading to life change, leading to your new character more like Jesus. One word from God can open a wondrous world. When we believe like this, we're saved from the darkness and eternal death. We begin to live a glorious new life in Jesus' light. Jesus supplies a strong challenge. Verses 20 and 21. Look at what he says. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Too many of us spend too long in life hiding out back in the dark shadows. We hide because of our sin. We hide because of our fears. We hide out because of other people's expectations. We hide back here. We think we're good. We think we're protected. And Jesus is saying, every human soul, you've got a choice to make. Will you stay locked in the darkness, in the shadows, where no good comes, or will you step out and begin to walk in the light? See, real life transformation, new birth happens when you step out there into the light. Jesus was saying to Nicodemus and is saying to every one of us, step into the light. Get out there in the sight of God. He can handle it. He can handle your sins. He can handle your fears. He can handle your past, all that BC stuff. He can handle it. Step out there in the light. What's your choice today? Seriously. What's your choice? Are you trusting your selfish ways, your own religious efforts, or the beautiful love of Christ? Are you staying back there in the darkness or stepping out there into the light? end of our service in a few minutes, you're going to have the opportunity to respond, to step into the light. And I warmly urge you. A number of people did this following first service. I warmly urge you to respond. Kenny's mom played piano. She got invited to fill in, help out for some weeks, and play for a little country church that was in need, a couple blocks away from where they lived. She said yes. And she took the struggling 17-year-old and her other kids along with her to that little country church when she played piano. One night during a special service, Kenny heard the stunning news of God's love for him. His heart was gripped by God's love. Remember, one word from God can open a wondrous world. And he responded when the service was wrapping up. And he went to the front and he declared that he believed and was trusting in Jesus as his Savior and Lord. Wind blew that night. Share your backstory. Share how your story intersects with Jesus' story. And then share your I'm being changed now. Share your I'm being changed now story. At this point in John's gospel, right here, maybe you've noticed it already, maybe you haven't, we're not told exactly what Nick did or said next. We're just left with him standing there in the dark. And John in the story jumps onto something else. Isn't it crazy when authors do that? Or movie makers, when they just leave something hanging like that. But aren't the best ones like that? Kind of like one of my favorites of all time. Maybe it's yours. Maybe you've never seen it. But how many of you, The Sixth Sense? Remember it? M. Night Shyamalan. Very end. What? It's been dead the whole time. Now, any of you haven't seen it? Yep, spoiler. Wow. In this case, masterful literary effect. Epic moment. John 19, verse 38. Joseph was from the town of Arimathea. He was a follower of Jesus, but was afraid of the Jews. So he worshiped without anyone knowing it. He asked Pilate if he could take away the body of Jesus. Pilate said he could. Then Joseph came and took it away. Verse 39, Nick came too. The first time he had come to Jesus had been at night. He brought with him a large box of spices. Then they took the body of Jesus with the spices and put it in linen cloths. This was the way the Jews made a body ready for the grave. Obviously, more winds had blown. And now Nick was fully stepping into the light. I mean, it's one thing to ask Jesus questions privately in the dark. It's another thing altogether when public enemy number one has been crucified and you show up to help prep the body for burial. Now you're out there. Nicodemus was out there in the light. More winds have blown. Now, maybe you're saying, okay, sounds great, Pletch, but how do I really share my story? Because I can be good with beginning with Bible and prayer, and I can be good with learning to listen better, and I'm really good with eating, and I can even serve. I can do that serve thing, but this is hard. I know. I get it. The Fergusons give us 5 tips for sharing our story. They're simple, they're bold, and they're beautiful. Number one, ask God for help. Would you dare today, before you leave, to say, God, help me get more courageous in actually sharing the gospel story? Seriously. Would you let a word like perish motivate you? Would you let a word like believe motivate you? So you pray different. Today and every day this week, Lord, help me. And I guarantee you, he will answer that prayer. He will. Ask him for help. And then you be you. You be you. And that's not like just do you. No, you be you. In other words, don't try to be Nicodemus. Don't, please don't try to be John Pletcher. Don't try to be anybody you label as the normal great share like a Billy Graham or Billy's good son Franklin or anybody like that. Just you be you. Keep it real. Keep it short. Practice out loud. Think BC. Think how Jesus' story intersects my story. Write it down. And then think, what's been changing in my life? And write it down. Keep it short. Keep it real. Practice it out loud. 1 Peter 3:15, leading disciple of Jesus, Peter says this, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Now, what's that mean? What's that mean? Revere Christ as Lord. That's no throwaway statement. Remember, no words wasted in God's word. Revere Christ as Lord. What's that mean? Constantly, moment by moment, day by day. King Jesus, I love you. I worship you. I obey you. King Jesus, Lord, Master. I get it again. Yes, you are my Lord. You are my King. I follow you. I obey you. I worship you. I follow you. I obey you. I worship you. Revere Christ as Lord. And then he says this, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You know you're a hope dealer? You are. You might have some other line of business. You might be in sales. You might be in networking of some kind. The biggest thing Jesus has called you to do is push hope. And you do that through the gospel. Jesus' story, your story. The beautiful intersection. You share hope. But then notice this. Peter says, but do this with gentleness and respect. The world does not need more Christians who are ugly. The world doesn't need more Christians who are blah, 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 wagging their fingers and proclaiming judgment and condemnation. The world needs more Christians who will be courageous with the gospel, gentle, kind, bold, truth-telling, loving, bold, courageous, truth-telling, gentle, respectful. Watch these stories. Watch this. The hope of someone does. So ask Jesus for an opportunity to share your story. I guarantee you, he will answer it. That young, troubled, quick-tempered student, Kenny, sat in that nighttime service at that little country church, and he heard the message of Jesus' love for him. And he responded that night, and he received the ultimate blessing, Christ Jesus' saving work. And he started growing and step at a time being changed. And one day, he traded a car for a horse with another guy. What a deal. Another guy his age. It was a teenager deal. Car for a horse. And in that horse car deal, met the other guy's sister. And Kenny and her fell in love and got married, and they had me within the next 2 years. I'm awfully grateful that the wind of God's Spirit blew in surprising ways to reach my dad and my mom with his all-out love. For all of us, this is a journey, and so if you'd like some other resources besides the Blessed book, I've got a number of other recommendations of some great resources to help you on this journey of sharing your story and impacting others with the gospel. We have a cheat sheet that we share around here all the time, and you've heard us share about it, your big four must-know scriptures. I invite you to grab one on your way out today. If you're stirred by perish and by believe, grab this. And it's in the kiosk out there and out at the info station as you go. Grab one. It'll help you in getting ready to share. I'm going to bless others. Get ready to share your story because of Jesus' story. Because of Jesus' story. We're going to encounter Jesus right now in communion and song. And I know we're running a little later today. Thank you for hanging in there. Communion and song. Gabby and the team are going to lead us. This piece of bread reminds us Jesus' body for us. This cup of juice, Jesus' blood for us. And so as you partake, you remember what he's done for you on the cross. And as we enter into Holy Week, you celebrate like that. As we're singing, you can come and partake. There are tables here and in the back as well, and you can come and partake. By the way, everything's gluten-free, just so you know that. Everything there is gluten-free. And if you need communion served to you today, just lift your hand, and somebody would love to come to you and serve that to you. As we're singing, come and partake. But I want to invite you to do something special. I invite you to do this. If the wind of God's Spirit has stirred in you to trust him as your Lord and Savior today, if you've never done that before, if you've never confessed him as your Savior and Lord, ask him to forgive your sins and be your Lord and Savior. If you've never said, I want to step into your beautiful new community, Jesus, I'll follow you. If you've never done that, on your way to the communion table, before you go to the table, just bring your palm. If you've never done this before, bring your palm and lay it here with the others from first service. Just lay it there at this spot or the one over here, or there are two of these stands in the back with palms on them. And if you've never done that before, on your way to the communion table, I invite you to lay your palm there. Pause, confess him, say, forgive me, Jesus. I accept your love, your grace, your forgiveness. Jesus, I believe. I don't want to perish. I believe and I trust you, Jesus. I want to be in your new community. Pray telling him that you confess and believe. And then go to the communion table to partake and to rejoice and to say thank you. Let's stand. I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to pray for us as the team gets ready to lead us. Lord, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for the way your wind blows in our hearts. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Surprising things in our souls, in our minds, in our hearts. Stir within us afresh and anew, Lord. Thank you for the challenge to believe. As we take the bread, we remember your body given. As we take the cup, we remember your blood shed. We thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus, with all our hearts. We love you. We adore you, Lord. Amen. Whenever you're ready, you can come to one of the stations.